the Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday happier happy hour, now with more sports talk. And a fine guest, he is Scott Rossi, Wisconsin Ethics Commissioner, a Gemini, a firebrand, a friend of ours. Scott, welcome back, man.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Hey, good, Scott. Good to hear you, man. Thanks, Scott, for joining us.
Every time don't hear Scott. I was going to say, every time we see him now, the COVID do, it gets longer and longer. He's kind of chasing you, isn't he, Bob?
He's got a ways to go, man.
At least you pull yours back respectfully for the
airwaves. Well, for the show. That's just because I don't want to get my hair pulled out by the headphones.
Gotcha.
Well, he's...
All right, we got Scott back.
Hey, Scott, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Good. Who was the professor in Back to the Future? Your haircut's starting to look like his.
Very good. I didn't have time to put it together today. I've been hard on other things unrelated to my head.
Well, let me ask you about things unrelated to your beautiful hair. Scott, a Dane County judge today bitch slapped Republicans who had sought to hire counsel to the tune of like $1 million at the taxpayer expense, even though there was no active litigation. First and foremost, you know, they're going to say it's a partisan Dane County judge. You know, this is the effort of the left to steal democracy or something of the sort. But what do you think of the ruling, all things considered, Scott?
Well, I mean, it seemed appropriate that Voss can't hire lawyers for a lawsuit which exists. It seems pretty simple to me, actually. And so, you know, I mean, you know, we know that Voss and the Republicans have tried to hamstring Attorney General Josh Call. They passed laws, you know, in the lame duck session that Scott Walker signed that take away in other ways in which the Attorney General is able to be, you know, the top lawyer for the state of Wisconsin. And as part of that, they thought they could hire lawyers right, you know, straight up, and they couldn't. You know, they did it simply, you know, it was not. And like you said, Robin Voss, the thrice married moral leader of the Republican Party in Wisconsin, has already said it's a Dane County judge, so it doesn't count. And I that trope is so tired. It's, you know, it's not effective. The problem is that Democrats continue to have a challenge because of the way the maps have been drawn. You know, it's not all the maps, but it is so debilitating when you have created districts that make it virtually impossible for a non-Republican to win the seat, and in some places non-Democrat to win the seat. But it overwhelmingly has supported the Republicans. They have done everything to flout the law to rig the elections. And so it's not unexpected. This will likely go to the state Supreme Court. It will be interesting to see what happens there for sure, given, you know, Hagedorn's sometimes, you know, siding against the Republicans on voting issues.
Scott, the last time around, a decade ago, I'm sure you recall, private counsel also represented Republicans. They did an off-campus redistricting. Even Republicans were only allowed to come in as individuals. They couldn't see anyone else's district. We know this because Dale Schultz described this process to us on the show, Scott. But how important is the lawyers to the process of rigging the maps, to your opinion?
Well, I mean, it's absolutely important. I mean, legal counsel is certainly something that the Republicans need to have in order to get their case, because their goal is to get the case before the state Supreme Court, where the state Supreme Court, which is controlled 4-3 by the Republicans, rules in their favor. I would say this, I'd add to the point about 11 years or about, you know, the last time we did these maps 10 years ago, is that they actually had to sign secrecy pledges too. Let's not forget, every single Republican legislator signed a secrecy pledge that was authored by the two leaders of the chambers at that time. You know, one is a congressman and the other one is the congressman's lobbyist brother, who were leading the legislature at the time, the Fitzgeralds. So yeah, it is very troubling. You know, it is incredibly troubling. We know that they tried to hide these things. We know that there was a lot of litigation for them to even reveal what they were doing. And again, you don't have to look at the maps. You know, I'll give you two examples of just how bad these maps are, if you don't mind. One is, like, you take a look at Jesse Rodriguez in the in the South Milwaukee State Rep District. If you take a look at the actual map for her district, it is the border is literally a straight line, except for right here, a tiny little square, which is her house. You know, and you look at the maps down in Racine, Kenosha, where they took, you know, the two Senate districts were Racine County and Kenosha County. Okay. And the cities are on the edge. So what did they do? They took two competitive districts and they flipped the districts like this. So one will never be anything but a Republican one. It's all that, like, you know, non-city turf. And then the other are the two cities, City of Kenosha and Racine, which are two drastically different cities. So they will do anything, the Republicans, to hold power. I try and think, like, what can the citizens do? You know, I think that the citizens just have to make sure that they are as loud as possible about what is at stake here and what the Republicans are trying to pull. I think the governor's done a good job with the Maps Commission, you know, to make this an issue, to make sure that people are talking about things. It's not the sexiest issue, but it's a really, really important issue. And it's important that voters and the public at large is kept informed about what's going on here, because there is so much at stake.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our friend Scott Ross joining us via the Zoom. Scott, some speculation, perhaps. Michael Best and Friedrich was the law firm for the Republicans last time around. And regardless of what we may think about it, they were very successful in what they did. Why do you think the Republicans didn't go back to that well?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because, yeah, Michael Best and Friedrich, we always joke, was the de facto law firm of the Wisconsin legislature. So I'm not sure exactly what they're unhappy with. I don't know. Maybe they have a bad relationship with Brian Hagedorn. So they didn't want, you know, since he's this, you know, he could be the swing vote. Maybe that's the issue there. I'm not sure.
Scott, Senator Ron Johnson came out again and continues to make national news embarrassing this fine state. The most recent one that I took note of was questioning whether or not masks are actually efficient, whether they actually work, because, you know, we wore these masks and so many people died anyway. I mean, what could we possibly know? And Scott, he's just asking questions. How would you respond to the senator?
Well, I would say this. One, you know, Ron Johnson has never shown that, you know, that science is going to get in the way of one of his QAnon Ron talking points. You know, I mean, this guy's gone nuts. He has gone through every... You know, he has gone off the deep end with every single conspiracy theory that's out there, defending the insurrection, you know, claiming that COVID's not, you know, that we can protect ourselves with things that aren't, you know, the vaccine somehow be set, somehow be cured. So this is par for the course. It's just incredible. And it's incredible when you think about leaders from the past, you know, really going back to, there's never been somebody who's so extreme on any side, on either side, like Ron Johnson. And I think you would have to go back to McCarthy for somebody who has created so much national attention for just being so blatantly wrong and ridiculous on every front, as Ron Johnson has. It's really shocking. I think the thing I saw that he was whining the other day, the Associated Press wrote a story about, you know, his lunacy, and Ron Johnson's press person were whining on Twitter that they didn't mention the Joseph Project, you know, in this story about how Ron Johnson has embraced every racist theory, particularly and foremost the big lie about the election, and whining, you didn't mention the Joseph Project. You didn't mention the Joseph Project, which is some, like, you know, $200,000 thing that Ron Johnson put together to assist people to get jobs. It's actually in the story. It's just not by name. And so then they're whining, well, the reporter cared so much about it, he'd have the name on it. And I know you guys have, like, covered Ron Johnson. You've had him on before. He's come on to your show. You've talked about the stuff that he's done. It comes back to reminding you how bad a job the press has done with covering this guy since he was installed in 2011 up until, say, the last year. And, you know, it's unfortunate because the people deserve to hear what's going on. They deserve to know what their legislators are doing in the state of Wisconsin. Then they shouldn't just have to go on Twitter to find out what's going on regarding that guy.
Our good friend Scott Ross, he's a firebrand, a Gemini, a Wisconsin ethics commissioner, and a friend of ours. But Scott, I would say that Rojo changed, or at least his behaviors have changed. And he did often brag to us about his work with the Joseph Project. And, you know, that was his racially get out of jail free card. But now he's taking a completely different sort of Lee Atwood Southern strategy here. And I don't know, you know, that might work in northern Wisconsin or rural Wisconsin. But you talk about white replacement theory. You talk about the inarticulate things he said about being afraid of Black Lives Matter protesters, but not the good patriots that came storming the Capitol on January 6th. Scott, do you think that this is a willful dog-whistling Southern strategy campaign? I mean, has Ron Johnson effectively adopted racism as his reelective campaign?
I think he absolutely has. And, you know, I think a lot of the Republicans have at this point. You know, the same things that are coming out of Ron Johnson's mouth are to a similar extent coming out of Tom Tiffany's mouth, out of Scott Fitzgerald's mouth. You know, that's the Republican Party has gone all in on this strategy. And it's absolutely disgusting. It's absolutely despicable. And if I were a Republican voter and I saw that the way the Republicans thought I would go out to the polls is by, you know, talking racism, you know, being for racism, I'd be disgusted. I would be disgusted with that. You know, and that's, you know, it's unfortunate because, again, like, and I would just say this, like, I come today, I'm actually coming loaded for bear because I just finished this book by Heather McGee, The Sum of Us, which is about how white voters basically, you know, cut their nose off to spite their face and opposed all these programs like, you know, community pools and Medicare for All and a whole bunch of programs that would assist white people because the Republicans told them that it was going, more of the benefit was going to Black people. And it's a fascinating read. I mean, a lot of it's just like you want to just throw a book against the wall, you know, while you're reading it. But I think that's you know, we are at a point in American history, in American politics, where racism is the central struggle on which both sides are aligned. One on the side of fighting racism and one fully embracing it. You know, and it starts with that big lie theory. The big lie is about Republicans thinking the election was illegitimate because Black people went to the polls and voted.
Scott Ross, we're going to have a special election. Tony Evers declared the former John Jagler seat. He, of course, won the special election in Senate number 13. So Jagler's assembly seat now becomes a vacancy. And you can nominate, you can circulate nomination papers. Now, we know there's at least a handful of Republicans jumping in this race. Scott, should the Democrats actively seek this seat? I realize there will be a redistricting. I realize, you know, whoever defends this seat in 2 years may defend a quite different district. But I mean, Scott, I got radio signal all over the 37th Assembly District. Who should the Dems run, and should they support that candidate and actually try to win this seat and win incumbency for 2 years from now?
The only fight you have no chance to win is the one you don't get involved in. The Democrats absolutely should get someone there, and they should finance this candidate, and they should make talking about the important issues that face this country great. How better a place to have the debate over the American Rescue Plan and over COVID than in a hardcore right-wing Republican seat where you can actually see the things that we see in polling, right? All this public polling says the vast majority of Americans, Republicans, Democrats, independents, doesn't matter, support what President Biden and the Democratic Congress is doing to try and get us out of this mess related to COVID, to rebuild America, to make America even stronger than it ever was before, to make up for all the ground we've lost. Yes, they absolutely should compete. This is a seat right between Madison and Milwaukee, two biggest media markets in the state. No offense, Green Bay, but like, think about that. I mean, it'd be expensive. It'd be a big fight, but people deserve to have this fight. Democrats deserve to get to have this fight.
Hell yeah, Scott Ross. He's our friend. He's a firebrand. Give him hell, Scott Ross. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates. One last segment for today. Join us. Your phone calls welcome at 844-967-2789. Your only crime is failing to call.
Thanks, Scott.
Roads. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
I don't know, but I'm suspicious.